The words of God given to us today are Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8. It is page 890 in the Old Testament. The words for today is Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8. I will read the words. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their hearts. They do no wrong, but follow His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying Your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all Your commands. I will praise You with an upright heart as I learn Your righteous laws. I will obey Your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Amen. The Psalm 119 does not have a title in its beginning, but the theme of the psalm is easy enough to know if you read just a stanza or several lines of this psalm. In the 176 lines of this psalm, there are only four lines that do not contain a word, which means God's words. In this psalm, one finds the longing and the desiring for God's words. The reason that the writer of the Psalm 119 longed for and praised God's words is because he became convinced that because God's words are the strength of God, we can be saved and overcome the world when we rely on God's words. Now, the motto for our church for this year is, Lord, my strength, which is based on Psalm 18, verse 1. For God to be my strength, I must long for and desire God's words, where God's strength can be found, and we must depend on them. Through the writer of Psalm 119, God lets us know how great and powerful God's words are. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it is called a poem of wisdom, like Psalm 1, which begins the book of Psalms. The psalm provides us with the wisdom to walk the path that God wants us to walk in the midst of ever-changing and rough world. Psalm 119 is made up of a total of 22 stanzas and 176 lines. The reason that it is made up 22 stanzas is that one of 22 Hebrew alphabets began each stanza. A form of a poem where each alphabet begins a stanza or a line is called acrostic. In Psalm 119, there are 8 lines to each stanza. And for convenience, we call each line in Psalm a verse. Since there are 22 stanzas with 8 verses, so there are altogether 176 verses. Not only does the first letter of each stanza begins with the alphabetical, the applicable alphabet, the first letter of the 8 verses in the stanza also begins with the same alphabet. Because our Bible is a translation of the Hebrew Bible, it's not possible for us to hear and feel the Hebrew alliteration that is found throughout Psalm 119. Now, today's text is the first stanza of the psalm, which has 8 verses. The first word of each of the 8 verses contains the first Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. Now, this alphabet, Aleph, basically has the sound of an ah, and this is from verse 1. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Now, the first word of the verse begins with the word ways in the Korean version that we are reading, but in the Hebrew Bible, the first word of the verse is ashrei, meaning blessed. Now, this is the first word of the first stanza of Psalm 119, and is also the first word of the entire Psalm 119. And this word is blessed. The first word of Psalm 1 is also the same. God is someone who gives us blessings. Now, these blessings can be enjoyed when we keep God's words and obey them. And verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 119 tells us the characteristics of people who are blessed. The Hebrew word for the X mentioned in verse 1 of the Korean version of the Bible is derek, and this word has been translated as the way in verse 3 and in path in verse 5. Now, the word blameless means morally being faultless, wholesome, and pure. So when we say that someone's acts are blameless, it means that the way a person is living his life is without fault, wholesome, and pure. The law, which is mentioned in verse 1, is a translation of Torah, which is a word often used to refer to the Ten Commandments or the first five books of Moses. What is the equivalent for us today is the Bible, which is God's words. A blessed person is someone whose actions are blameless, somebody who acts according to the Lord's law. But this does not mean that one can be said to act in accordance with God's law when his actions are blameless. How could the actions of a human being who has sinful nature be blameless? It is only when a person acts according to the laws of God that his actions can be blameless. When a person acts in such a way, the way he lives his life will be morally faultless, wholesome, and pure. Such a person is blessed. Now, verse 2 also begins with the word ashrei and tells us who a blessed person is. This is from verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. In the Korean version of the Bible, the word statute is translated as testimonies, and it is yet another expression for God's words. And the word keep is a translation of Hebrew word nazar, meaning protect or to preserve. Now, Jehovah's testimonies have preservation value. In the same way that an important witness is protected in court or an important evidence is preserved by court, the words which are the testimonies of God must be preserved by us. To say to keep God's testimonies is a symbolic expression for living out God's words. And the word seek in verse 2 has the meaning of going often to ask and to seek. To seek God means going often before God, asking him and seeking him. This is prayer. To seek God means to maintain a continuous relationship with him. A person who is conscious of his own lack and weaknesses and seek God and prays to him is someone who is seeking God. Now, one must pour all of one's heart to doing so. To seek God without such a heart, to seek him without any deep thought or on the fly, is to treat God as a vending machine or a remote control, and not as an object of our worship. Now, there is a word known as a critical mass. It refers to the critical mass, which is needed for the fissile materials to explode on its own in a chain of nuclear reactions. But in addition to the critical mass, other various factors must be satisfied together. And this is the same when we pray to God. To pray to God with all of one's heart means that one should arrive at a kind of a critical mass in order to commune with God. It is as if all of one's heart reflecting his purity, the state, his zeal, and humility, arrive at a critical mass. A person who keeps God's words and seeks Him with all his heart is like a lawyer who preserves evidence and seeks to move the judge with that evidence at a trial. Someone who preserves the testimonies of God and keeps them, and who seeks God and prays to Him with a heart that arrives at a critical mass. At such time, one will find God's works and entering a communion with God. Such a person is someone who has made meditation on God's words and prayers into daily routines and whose actions are blameless and are blessed. Now, verse 3, following after verses 1 and 2, also tells us about the characteristics of a blessed person. They do no wrong but follow His ways. Now, who are these people? These are the blessed persons who are mentioned in verses 1 and 2. The word wrong means unrighteous acts, evil acts, faulty acts, and acts of violence. There are many people in the world who do wrong. Do we think that in the future the world can be freed from these wrongful acts? If we consider human nature, such a world cannot come automatically. In the developed countries, there is less corruption compared to the past, but they still exist. Even in our own country, there are laws and systems such as anti-corruption laws, public official ethics laws, special prosecutorial office system, and there are organizations and treaties such as Committee for National Anti-Corruption and Treaty for the Transparent Societies. But these all testify to the fact that unrighteous acts and corruptions could be found all over Korean society in the past. It is necessary for the national and local governments, companies, and civic organizations to take a lead in order to get rid of corruption and graft. But wouldn't it be important for Christians to first not commit unrighteousness in their lives and carry out the ways of the Lord? A blessed person does not commit acts of unrighteousness. The word follow in verse 3 is a translation of the Hebrew word harak, which means to walk. So to act according to the Lord's ways means walking the road that the Lord has shown. I have said that the way stands for how we act, way of our actions. A person who walks the way of the Lord is someone who bases his actions in the words of God. Such a person is blessed. In Psalm 1, it is said that a blessed person does not stand in the way of the sinners. A person who is blessed walks the Lord's way, and therefore he does not stand in the way of the sinners. He is someone who does not walk the way of unrighteousness, such as the way of corruption, the ways of evil, the faulty ways, or the way of violence. The word walk in verse 1 is the same word as the word to follow. Therefore, a person who walks according to the laws of the Lord is someone who lives out the ways of the Lord. A blessed person's way is wholesome because such person follows the words of God. He does not walk the way of righteousness, but walks the way of the Lord. He keeps the Lord's words and preserves them, and he seeks out God, asks Him often, and prays. If the verses 1 to 3 lay out the characteristics of how a blessed person acts, then verses 4 to 8 give expressions to the writer's prayers and resolves. This is from verse 4. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Now, precepts is a translation of the Hebrew word pikud, and it means lessons and regulations. It is another expression for God's words. Psalmist confesses, the reason he was able to keep God's words well was because God commanded it. psalmist paid attention to the command. If one does not listen well, one will not be able to keep God's words well. The psalmist followed the Lord's command to keep God's lessons and regulations well. In the Korean translation of the Bible, before the word keeps, there is the adverb well. The word well has the meaning of with passion, with diligence. So what this means is that the God commanded the psalmist to keep God's words with passion and diligence. In the Korean Bible, the word keep is a translation of the Hebrew word shemar, shemar. It is the same word which appears in verse 5 and verse 8, and this word has the meaning of putting a fence around and to protect. It is a word which is different from the Hebrew word keep in verse 2, but there is no big difference in meanings between these words. That one must protect and keep God's words as if one were putting a fence around them means that one should not lose them. Lose them to who? We must be sure not to lose them to Satan. Satan tries to take away God's words by ideas, studies, trends, and customs that are based on secular values. We must protect God's words against them. If we end up losing them without being able to keep them, we won't be able to live them out. Now, verse 4 is also a confession of thanksgiving. It is a confession which admits that all that I am now is due to the Lord's grace. Then we can live out God's words is due to God's grace. I was not able to do so because I happen to have a strong will. We cannot win over the temptations of the world and the secular values with our strength alone. We can only do so with the grace of God's words. God is someone who commands us to keep His words well. The reason He so commanded us is that He wants us to live a blessed life by keeping His words well. Let us obey the commands of God's words. Then we will be able to keep His words even better. The more we keep God's words, God's words will become the Lord our strength and will guard us. The psalmist knew this too well and thus prayed as follows. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Now the word road in the Korean translation of this verse is the same as the word acts and ways found in verses 1 and 3. Decrees is the translation of the word hok. It is a different expression for God's words. The psalmist is praying that God will firmly set the way he should go so that he can keep God's words. The word firmly in the Korean Bible is a translation of the word ahalai in Hebrew, which is an exclamation of hope. If we were to apply this exclamation and translate the original verse, it would read as, oh, set my ways so that I will obey your rules. The exclamation begins the verse in consideration of the alliteration. But no matter how you translate it, you can feel the genuine longing in that prayer. I wish that our prayers are like that. Oh, Father God, set out the ways I'm to act so that I can keep your words. Now we must construct the rules for the way we act in the right way. When we do so, if our focus is on keeping God's words well, rather than getting an admission to school, getting a job, getting a promotion, or about business, marriage, success, money, or fame, then the quality of our lives will differ. Sketch out the rules for your actions designed to keep God's words with His help. Wouldn't God lead you as you walk such path? the psalmist in order to keep God's word as well confesses two resolves. This is from verse 6. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. The word command in Hebrew is mitzvah. This is the conviction that when one pays attention to everything that God has said, one will not be ashamed. Now the word consider has the meaning of examining carefully and think of it deeply. To examine God's words carefully means not simply to look at a certain object in order to observe it. It means one thinks about it carefully. The other word for it is meditate. A person who carefully focuses on God's words, thinks about them deeply, and meditates on them does not become ashamed. What do you think? Will a person who pays careful attention to God's words really not put to shame? There were occasions when King David, when he was running from the threats of King Saul and Absalom, was put to shame. There were times that the apostles and the Lord's disciples were put to shame. And we could also be put to shame when we live in consideration of God's words. But such a shame, in truth, in strict sense, is not shame. The Lord also received shame and taunting. Do we think that such shame and taunting, which Jesus received in order to achieve Father's will, are something to be ashamed of? The people of the world may judge that Jesus was put to shame, but from the perspective of God, that was not something to be ashamed of. Rather, it was the perfection of salvation and glory. For us also, if we are put to shame while we consider God's words from people around us, this is not something that we should be ashamed of. If we suffer shame and taunting because we committed a wrongful act, then we should be ashamed. But various difficulties that we may suffer while doing good in consideration of God's words can never be something shameful. Rather, we should be glad and give thanks because God will see that such actions as us being faithful rather than something that we should be ashamed of. The psalmist prays with the resolution to keep all God's words and hopes that he will not be put to shame by doing so. In the way the psalmist confesses, we also will not be ashamed when we consider all of God's commands. Verse 7, which follows verse 6, is a confession of faith as well as a resolve. This is from verse 7. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. The word judgment in the Korean Bible is mishpat. In Hebrew, and it is used often to mean righteousness or judgment. That one learns of the Lord's righteous judgment means that one learns God's righteous judgment. God's righteous judgment is God's words. We can learn God's righteous judgment from the Bible. Why do people try to learn and study? It's because they hope to act on what they learned or get benefits of that learning. Psalmist wants to learn God's words in order to make righteous judgment in the unrighteous world and walk the way of the Lord. We also, when we learn God's righteous judgment, the more we learn it, the better equipped we are to find our way out of a difficult circumstance. We often run into a diverging path in our lives. Let us imagine that there is a door at the entrance of each path. Regardless of which door is chosen, I have to be the one to open the door. Shouldn't we open the way that leads to the Lord's way rather than the door that leads to unrighteousness each time we pass through the door at a diverging path? No one opens that door for us. Only door that another opens for us is the door of the casket in our lives. If we learn the righteous judgment of God, we will open the door that leads to the Lord each time we run into a diverging path in our lives. To thank means to extend one's hands. Symbolically, it is a gesture of opening one's hands to worship. When one learns of God's righteous judgment, one cannot but extend one's hands to God in worship and marvel. Worship arises from thanksgiving about learning. So it is a thankful worship. How can we not be thankful as we make the right decision between the unrighteous way and the way of the Lord and walk the way of the Lord by making the righteous judgment? The psalmist prays that he wants to learn and consider God's words so that he will not be put to shame and give thanks to God in verses 6 and 7. But we can confirm in verse 8 that the ultimate goal of the psalmist is keeping God's words well. This is from verse 8. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. The decrees refer to laws that are set down by God and His words. In the Korean Bible, the word keep appears four times in the eight verses of the text. The beginning and the ending prayer are about keeping God's words well. From the content of the psalmist's prayer, we can tell that at the time it was not easy to keep God's words. How is it today? Is it easy to keep God's words? Then or now, it is not easy to keep God's word, so we must pray that God will allow us to keep His words well. The psalmist requests that God not forsake him since he will obey God's decrees. Why do you think he prays this way? What was he worried about in keeping God's words? That he prayed God that he would not forsake him completely. Keeping God's words is to walk a lonely and difficult path. It is a resolve not to depend on strength of a human being or the world. One can only pray that although people may ignore me or turn away from me and I'm left all alone, God will be on my side and be my strength. Because when God abandons me, only despair remains. To be forsaken utterly by God means to be forsaken completely. Would God completely abandon those who keep His words? There is a resolve of faith in Psalmist's prayer that he will depend only on the strength that comes from God's words. It is a confession of resolve which declares that he will only believe in God and keep His words. What are we trying hard to keep? Soldier guards is based in the nation. The rulers keep power. A businessman protects his company from competitors. A man of wealth guards over his wealth. Even when one may not be rich, people try to guard what they have. In each place of life, a person tries to keep his place. And one tries hard to keep when one cannot see. One protects one's honor, one's pride, one's beliefs and convictions. One even goes as far as to hold on to one's selfishness. But how much effort are we putting in order to keep God's words? If we do not keep God's words, we will too easily lose them to Satan. If we do not keep God's words, we cannot keep the kingdom of God and the church. If we do not keep God's words, we will go down an unrighteous path and it will be put to shame, as the psalmist has confessed. If we keep God's words, then the words of God will become God who is my strength, will become my rock, my fortress, my helper, my God, my shield, my horn of salvation, and my mountain fortress. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for giving us the Bible, which allows us to remain close to your words so that we can walk the way of the Lord rather than a path of unrighteousness. Allow the ways of our actions to comply with the ways you want us to go. And in order to keep your words, allow us to be more considerate of your words and learn your words more. Help us not to be afraid of suffering different kinds of difficulties from others. When we keep your words and walk the way of the Lord, may we believe that the Father will not abandon a person who keeps God's words and walk the ways of the Lord, and not forget that the words of God will become Jehovah, who is our strength, and will allow us to refrain from unrighteousness and overcome the world. I pray that during the holidays, our members' families will be filled with joy in the Lord, and by keeping the words of God, they will enjoy the grace of being blessed families. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.